following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Everybody, it's Colin Cowherd. With everybody working on the go, holding an impromptu meeting can be virtually impossible. But not anymore with GoToMeeting by Citrix. You can host your meeting online from your computer while your attendees join from any computer, an iPad, and now from an iPhone or any Android mobile device too. With the free GoToMeeting app, anybody can attend your online meeting sessions. Just tap the email invitation. They'll join instantly. It's that easy. This new GoToMeeting app is fantastic. I can see the host's desktop right from my smartphone or my tablet, so I can attend the meetings on the go. I could be in a taxi. I want you to try GoToMeeting free today. Go to the App Store, Android Market, download the free app, and start joining GoToMeeting sessions from anywhere and host your own meetings with a free 30-day trial. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Colin. Everybody's working on the go. Impromptu meetings are no problem with GoToMeeting by Citrix.
The KXPN Studios News Desk, I'm Merritt Lawson. Local radio hosts Doug Duda and Big Daddy Tony Davis will no longer have speaking roles on Wednesdays. Due to Big Red Lunch's Loper Link and Bob Jensen, there's just no more room in the show for them.
Au contraire, bonjour.
You know we couldn't keep the guys out of the show. So despite a busy show, the guys will get you ready for all your favorite high school teams, your UNK Lopers, and the Nebraska Huskers. Now live at one of your Big Red Lunches, here's Doug Duda and Big Daddy Tony Davis.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It is Wednesday, and that's Wednesday before a Husker game. That means a Husker lunch down here at Cunningham's Journal and the Loft. Sean Callahan will be on hand at 12 noon to talk Husker football. Come down, enjoy lunch. If you've been down before, you know it's a good time. He'll answer all of your questions. He'll talk a lot about what happened with the Ohio State game. Is Nebraska as good as they were in the second half? Or should we still have to worry about what happened in the first half of that football game? First chance to talk about Jared Crick not being a part of the football team anymore. Who's going to take over for him? There's differing opinions there. It sounds like it might be a roundtable of who they rotate in to replace Jared Crick. But that is coming up today. Sean will join us at the end of the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. But, of course, we've got a full show to talk about elsewhere. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with UNK assistant volleyball coach Amy Gillespie after they just tarred and feathered Chadron State again last night. They're just not very good. But that's so be it. They went out and took care of business, and it's not like UNK was looking for wins. They're 22-1 on the season, ranked sixth in the country, and have two more home games in this six-game homestand still to come. So we'll talk with her about that and update you on the rest of the Loper news out there. The Loper golf team wins a tournament yesterday, so we'll talk about that as well. Plus, Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report will join us on the program today. It's the final week of the regular season of high school football. We'll talk about some of the big matchups. We're going to see at least one of those tomorrow, Tony, here on ESPN when Kearney High takes on Lincoln North Star. North Star has to win to get into the playoffs. They're the only team with a winning record below the cutoff line. They lost to Lincoln East by 1 point on opening night. East is 2-6, and they are above the playoff cut line. If they can get a win this week, they'd be in at 3-6. And North Star, if Kearney wins, would be out at 5-4. So we'll talk about that. Plus, the World Series begins tonight right here on ESPN Radio, and we'll make our predictions.
But, Doug, obviously the biggest news that happened last night, Bertram becomes, that's right, conference champions. They dominated Hitchcock County, who I believe was undefeated.
Yes, they were.
If I'm not mistaken. But,
took them a little work last night. They had to go four sets in the semifinals and finals, and that's asking a lot. That's a big conference tournament. They decide not to finish it on Thursday. They play it Monday and Tuesday. It's a tournament like what your ACC is going to look like here, your SEC when they expand. They're going to have so many teams that you're going to be playing teams that you don't normally get to see. But Bertrand, number one in D2, beats Hitchcock County in four sets. So congratulations.
Wow, I was emotional, obviously, last night. We hang another banner on the wall. But, yes, I'm very happy for the girls.
Grand Island will play Lincoln Southwest for the conference championship coming up tomorrow night. And so they will be playing in the Heartland Conference Championship. That's what's coming up tomorrow for them. Also, they have made it to the finals of the Crossroads Conference Tournament. Bruning Davenport will take on Exeter Milligan in the championship match. That's coming up tomorrow as well. Also, a lot of volleyball last night, and it kind of, I guess it played out as I thought. There was a lot of volleyball out there, but there wasn't a lot of competitive volleyball out there. All of the Tri-City matches outside of St. Cecilia going over to the Columbus SCOTUS Tri were straight sweeps. Columbus beat Kearney. Kearney Catholic beat St. Paul. Hastings beat Cozad. Central Catholic beat Aurora. Northwest beat York. Minden beat Adams Central. All sweeps last night. So some teams are red hot right now as they head into the postseason, which is just a little under 2 weeks away.
That's exactly what you want to be when you head into that postseason. And with the district's matchups the way they're set up, Doug, there's going to be some great volleyball teams facing off with other great volleyball teams.
Well, and of course, cross country's coming up this week. We've got complete coverage of that as well. High school football. Lopers are on the road. You know, this is one of those weeks where the Lopers are on the road with football, Hastings on the road with football, the Huskers are on the road with football. So maybe you get a chance to go out and watch something else while listening to the radio and listening to the games or catching them on TV. But right now it is time, well, before this. I don't feel as good about this as when I see bad news from UNL, but Shadron State and a lot of kids from this area have that decision, Shadron State, UNK, for a variety of athletics. But head football coach Bill O'Boyle asked to step aside in the middle of the season because last week they self-reported themselves to the NCAA and to the RMAC about some football fundraising issues, and full details not disclosed. But if your football coach has to be taken down to address these problems, that's not good. Brad Smith, who had been the football coach all those years, was the athletic director. Bill O'Boyle took over for him. He's 57-21. In seven seasons, and that's going 3-4 so far this year. And it can't be good up at Shadron. The president says he could be back next year.
No, he's not going to be back next year if that's the measures you took. And I will tell you, just by the one opportunity that I have had a chance to meet with Coach O'Boyle, he's as fun of a person to be around, as outgoing of a person. I will tell you, the high school coaches out there love him. He gets around. He knows everybody. He's very friendly with everybody. Obviously, something happened. Nobody knows at this point what it was. But it's too bad for Shadron State because that is a huge, huge blow for that, well, very, very proud football team. And let's be honest, with the success they've had, really been unmatched as far as they went in the playoffs, certainly in the RMAC Conference.
Well, hopefully someday we'll find out what all exactly happened because it will help teach whatever happened. I mean, you look at UNK, they just started this football gridiron club. They've had a couple of banquets to raise money. There's so many rules you have to follow, so many lines that you have to walk perfectly. I'm sure Shadron is trying to do something the same route there, probably even tougher for them. We talk a lot of times about UNK comparing themselves to UNL. I know Shadron compares themselves to UNK, and obviously the coaches should like Brad Smith out there because just like an SEM or an Overton or a small school kid or a Kearney High kid even comes to UNK and does well, all the kids from the western part of the state, they get a chance to go to Shadron State if they're not Division I material. And let's face it, there is not a lot of Division I material that comes west of this area.
No, and if you're a football fan out there, every other Saturday, let's be honest, we would cheer for UNK or for Shadron State, excuse me, when they're not playing UNK. And I think the same goes for Wayne State, except for UNL. We wouldn't do that for them. But Wayne State, Shadron State, Hastings, you know, those area teams, you're cheering for them. When they go out to play Colorado School of Mines, make no mistake about it, we're cheering for Shadron. Now, will it be an opportunity for UNK to capitalize on some of those Shadron kids if things go to shambles and you can take some of them? I'm sure UNK would be very, very willing to do that.
We can sure take your emails or your phone calls, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776, and, of course, the Dead Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy, spell out the word and, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Unfortunately, without many details to go for or from here, Tony, this is bad for the football team. You can't replace a coach just on a whim, and that's, you know, it's not a whim. Obviously, there's a problem here, but boy, they're midway through their season, and all of a sudden you throw in the athletic director, coach, football team, and I'm guessing there'll still be some interaction there, but it's not for the kids.
It's not like you're worried about, gosh, are we on the brink of playoffs right now? What's it hurt to wait 4 weeks? I mean, seriously. Well, why wouldn't you just wait 4 weeks and say...
Well, that's why you have to think this is pretty major.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I think you just put it off till the end of the year, and everybody would... The transition period would take place then instead of 4 weeks left in the season.
Shadron State, when just like any other program, whether you're a national power, whether you're a professional team, when you don't release the details, that leaves you to speculation. And we've seen way too many of these issues, and it usually 95% of the time comes out not good.
Exactly right.
Well, Shadron State's volleyball team, also not good. But as we said, I hope it was a nice scenic drive out to Kearney and back yesterday for the young ladies. And they have their own athletics that have been good in years past, and they'll clip UNK in something here in the near future. But it's time for our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank. Kearney, let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons, they have the loans. And by Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliance, on the farm tire service during this harvest time. Home fill industrial tires for no more flats or downtime. You're trying to get your crop in, don't be down. Garrett Tires and Treads, for details, check them out online as well, GarrettTire.net. And we are pleased to welcome for the first time to the Doug and Daddy Show assistant coach for UNK, Amy Gillespie. And, Coach, thanks for coming in. How are we doing?
No problem. Thank you. I'm doing well.
You should have got a lot of rest last night. You should have got home early. We joke because we care, but it was kind of a breeze last night for your ball club. And you've had a few of those on this homestand.
Yeah, we have. It was nice to be able to get everyone. We had everyone on the team plate, so it was nice to be able to get everybody in. But at the same time, it's tough for us because, you know, we have to prepare. We have down the stretch from now on, every game is going to be tough. So it's hard because we need players to be playing and getting practiced and ready for those games. But at the same time, you know, we don't want to go out and just kill anybody. So.
Hey, we make no mistake about it, though. 21-1. Yeah, if you'd have said that before the start of the year, I mean, everybody's jumping. Like, yes, we take that now. I mean, the way you're playing, though, you feel good about it right now?
Yeah, we had a rough stretch. Basically when we played Colorado Christian, and then a couple games after that where we weren't playing our best volleyball. We're starting to finally kind of get back. Our defense is getting a little bit stronger. We're getting more consistent on the offense, and I'm hoping that when, you know, the times come where we need to be peaking, which would be right now, starting Saturday, we're good to go.
Obviously, was that because Coach Squires allowed you to do more of the practices?
Yeah, that's definitely.
And that's when the team started rolling good.
That's definitely the reason.
There's only 7 games left in the regular season, and one of those, obviously, is an on-conference game against UNO next Tuesday. But, Amy, a little background on you. Coach Squires, over the last couple of seasons, has really had to bring in assistants that have moved on. It's been kind of a stepping stone. You've had some success in your coaching career. Kind of let the folks know where you've been and how you ended up here at UNK.
I spent the past 4 seasons at Seminole State College, which is a junior college in Seminole, Oklahoma. Took over the program there in July with 6 players in 2007. So it was a rough
Everybody
first
year. Everybody got to play.
That's right.
Oh, man.
It was a rough first year. My second year, we were full of injuries. Ended up finishing the season with 8 players. Had one game where we played our full entire team. So the first 2 years were pretty rough. The last 2 years were much better. My third year, we made it to the national tournament. Last year we finished 32-7, I think is what it was, and got upset in the district. Well, not upset. The team that we played was technically better than us. They ranked higher than us. Lost in 5 games to Eastern Arizona, who ended up finishing 8th in the nation last year. So, and I think that was a game we should have won there when I was at Seminole State. So, unfortunately, we had an opportunity last year to do good things, and we kind of blew it.
At the junior college level in volleyball, you're obviously trying to send players to the Division I level.
Right.
Did you do that?
Yes, I currently have 3 players that are playing Division I all on the East Coast. Unfortunately, another issue that we run into at the Division, we are the Division I junior college, so we have some full scholarships, and we're working with kids who really need the scholarship to be able to go on. So they had offers to go and play at pretty good programs, but unfortunately had to really take positions where they could have all the scholarships paid for.
Money's big, Daddy.
Yeah.
Money's big, especially when you go that JUCO route and you're trying to find your way and still play, but get your education. And Amy Gillespie's with us here. So how different has Division II been so far?
It hasn't been that different, other than the fact that I've taken on a different role as the assistant coach as opposed to the head coach. Which I've really enjoyed learning underneath Coach Squires, and taking on more of the backseat learning, sit and observe kind of role, as opposed to being there and in their face all the time and nonstop. I really wanted an opportunity where I could go somewhere and learn or somebody. That's one of the main reasons why I chose UNK, is because, you know, Coach Squires, it doesn't get much better than that at the Division II level. So, being able to learn underneath him and the program that he's set up, and being able to do it at a place, you know, or UNK, where like I said, the first day, our first home game, we had more people in the crowd than I have lived in my hometown. So it was just an incredible experience. Every game, a home game is just an incredible experience. So
in the off time, you're obviously out recruiting, looking at talent in the area.
Yeah.
80 girls in the state of Nebraska are going to go Division One, Two, or Three. The talent level, you don't have to go far to find very, very quality players.
Yep.
From Oklahoma's high school, is that way different?
Oklahoma, I believe, has 81 high school teams in the whole state of Oklahoma. It's very, very, very big softball, which they have fast-pitch softball during the fall, and then they still have slow-pitch high school softball in the spring. Yes, so they take quite a bit of athletes of our fast-pitch with fast-pitch in the fall. They take a lot of the
is that beer in high school? How do you play slow pitch softball without drinking beer? I just me.
They probably do. But no, they unfortunately volleyball is not a big sport. I mean, we had maybe 50 fans that came to every game, and that was after I had worked hard to try to raise our fan base. At the beginning, we had, you know, a couple students here or there, boyfriends of the players, that kind of stuff. Then at our district, the very last home game that we played last year at the districts, we probably had 300 people, and it was just crazy. I mean, all the girls were like, oh, my gosh. So the fact that I come here and the crowd is awesome, and we have the Loper Legion and the band, and, I mean, it's just a whole different ballgame.
How many people in Seminole, Oklahoma?
The school had, I want to say, 2,500. But then again, you know, you got to keep in mind that a lot of those are high school students or are taking concurrent classes, and I think that includes, there were some classes that were taught at the prison and include some of those people. So actual people on campus is probably much, much lower than that.
Way different,
yes,
to say the least. David Gillespie with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Daddy, some of the all-academic teams were released for the conference yesterday. Katie Sokolowski and Ariel Krolikowski, who, nice piece by Dave Greek on MTV last week, by the way, for the head Pollocks on this team. There's only seven girls on the first team, and they're two of the seven, and the football team had five. We'll talk about that in a moment, but let's move forward here now. The last two games of this six-game homestand are home this weekend. Talk about Saturday night. Talk about UNO. Obviously coming up here, probably still trying to learn some of the traditions and rivalries, but UNO is going to be one of those on Tuesday.
Right. On Saturday we play Colorado Christian, who, when we went there, they took us five games. They beat us in the first two. We came back and won the next three. So we kind of struggled, and so I think this is going to be a game where we're going to have to really step up and say we know that they can play with us. But we also want to prove and maybe go out for a little bit more of a redemption standpoint, because we don't feel like we played very well and that we shouldn't have been that close. Then again, they are a very good team, so you never know.
That is UNO.
And then UNO, right? And like you said, I don't really know all that much about the rivalry that goes on, other than we played them at their tournament. Our girls are pretty fired up. You know, a lot of them know those players, played against those players. A lot of those kids had came here on visits, and some of our girls had went there on visits. And so, you know, there's a lot of stuff, like you said, I don't really know about. But I do know that the rivalry is there. And they also went five games with us. We ended up beating them in the fifth game also. So two games that are coming up that we both, that they both played us close. So we're going to be playing our top volleyball.
But also at the college level, the girls also realize, you know what, if we do what we should do, we should be better than both of these teams and take care of business on our home floor.
Right.
And then after that, it's on the road.
Yeah.
And that's going to determine a lot about how the postseason regional rankings, who's hosting conference, all that kind of thing, because then it's off to Regis and Metro.
Yes. Every conference game we have coming up from here on, basically we've got to win. We need to win to try to remain in the top of the RMAC, and then also regional rankings as well. So every game from here on out is very, very important. And every game that we're playing, you know, I think Colorado Christian they're currently ranked sixth in our half out of the seven, above Chatterton. Chatterton hasn't lost it or hasn't won any games, but Colorado Christian is ranked sixth, and I believe they're like 6-4 or 7-4 or something. So every game from here on out for the RMAC rank or for the RMAC schedule, they're all gonna be tough. And you never know. Like I said, when we met Regis and Metro here, we weren't playing very well. So now we got to go there, and we just got to hope that we show up and we play well and we play our game, and I believe if we do that, then we'll be fine. But
the travel schedule, compare it to Oklahoma, to the RMAC, or what do you, is it comparable at all?
Not really at all. I mean, but at the same time, when I was down there, we had five or six home games a year is all we were allowed to have. So we traveled a lot. However, most of that was me driving a van to
Las Vegas, New Mexico.
So a lot of it was driving vans, so both of them were kind of brutal, but it wasn't nearly the distance that we go to every weekend or every other weekend.
Well, Amy, we appreciate you coming in and giving us some time today on the Doug and Daddy Show. We wish you guys the best of luck, and things are rolling pretty good right now.
Yep.
Tell Coach to wake up from his nap, and it'll all be good.
All right, I'll let him know.
Hey, we'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show in just a moment, but Amy Gillespie and the Lopers and her team and Coach Squire's team and the girls are going to be at home this weekend. So if you get a chance, we said all the football is gone. Come out and watch this great volleyball team. They can use your support as they take on Colorado Christian Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Then next Tuesday, UNO rolls in at 7 o'clock as well. And then Wayne State still to come on the schedule, which is a top 20 program. They're in a very tough Northern Sun Conference, and they've won a few and got beat last night, actually, Colorado Springs and Colorado Mines to wrap things up. We talked about the all-academic volleyball players, football players, Tony, and I know this is what you strove for during your hauling days. Yes, trying to be on this list. Rustin Dring, Brett Klein, Stephen Gooden, Sam Cook on the first team, Parker Jolly on the second team.
Great. You know, that's what goes with college athletics is obviously the academic side of it. They're student-athletes and students first, so it's great to see people getting recognized for what they do in the classroom.
And for the women's soccer team, they continue to battle. They need some wins, and they're going to be taking on. It seems like this whole conference has gotten a lot stronger, and they are trying to catch up right now. But they did get a key win, picked up a win on the road on Sunday, which was a rarity for this ball club, and actually snapped a four-game losing streak. They hadn't won one in the last six games. There was just one tie in there. They'll host Metro State Friday night at 7, and then Regis Sunday afternoon at 1. Their last four games are at home, so they're going to need three, if not four, wins to qualify for the tournament. And the UNK golf team finished its season. They played at Columbus Monday, Fremont Tuesday in tournament, and they win it over UNL, who finished in second. Garrett Goldsberry is the winner. Logan Almond was the runner-up, and also top five finishes for Chris Kelzer, Jordan Arnsdorf, Kearney freshman Aaron Porter played in this tournament as well. So there is your UNK update brought to you by Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliance. Check them out at GarrettTire.net. And by Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank, offering all types of loans from new construction, home, commercial, and for the seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. When we come back, Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep. Plus, come on in, folks, and join us here at Cunningham's Journal for our Husker Lunch. Sean Callahan will be rolling in to talk about the first half of the season, recap Ohio State, preview Minnesota and Michigan State, answer all your questions. Come in early, grab some lunch, and be with us here at Cunningham's. We'll take a break. Back with more after this.
Tuition is expensive, in-state, out-of-state, it doesn't matter. And even though you may not have had perfect standardized test scores, Dr. Pepper thinks you deserve free tuition to make your dreams come true. Go to drpepper.com and submit a one-minute video telling us how you want to make an impact on the people around you, your community, or maybe even the world. You may be one of the winners to get a piece of the millions in tuition being given away this college football season, courtesy of Dr. Pepper. Now that's one of a kind. Go to drpepper.com for more details and full official rules. No purchase necessary.
The Home Depot has a new idea for easier installation of insulation. New Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation at a new lower price of only $9.97 a roll. It's easier to handle, and at this new lower price, it's a lot easier on your wallet. So make it easy on yourself with Owens Corning EcoTouch insulation, just $9.97 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Trick or treat at the second annual Hastings Halloween Bike Show on Saturday the 28th and Sunday the 29th at the Adams County Fairgrounds. Admission is $6. Kids 12 and under get in free. Bike entries that will wow you. Enter the Mechanical Bull Riding Contest. Win door prizes. Hastings Halloween Bike Show is a fundraiser to benefit the Crossroads Center Rescue Mission. Trick or treat for your community. Complete information about the show, vendor space, and entries at HastingsHalloweenBikeShow.com.
It's the Outdoor Spectacular at Graham Tire. All tires in stock or on sale. Buy three and get the fourth free on select tires from Hankook, Goodyear, and Cooper. Plus, get manufacturer's rebates from Goodyear, Cooper, and Hankook up to $160 on your purchase of selected tires. Register to win one of three $500 Shield shopping sprees or a guided pheasant hunt at Top Gun Hunting Ranch. If you need tires, you don't want to miss this sale. It's the Outdoor Spectacular through Saturday, October 22nd. Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
The 2011 World Series on ESPN Radio. The Texas Rangers win back-to-back American League championships, but they've got bigger goals.
And the Rangers have won it.
They face the St. Louis Cardinals, looking for their 11th World Series championship.
Swing and a miss, struck him out, and the St. Louis Cardinals are going to the World Series.
Game one of the Rangers and Cardinals, Wednesday on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.
We'll see some sunshine develop across the area today with a high around 50 with a north wind increasing to 10 to 20. For tonight, with clear skies and light winds, we'll head back to 23 for a low, followed by a high of 54 on Thursday. I'm Paul Frobley. Right now, 45.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live from Cunningham's in downtown Kearney, getting ready for our weekly Husker Lunch every Wednesday the rest of the season. As long as there's Husker football, we're here for you. Trent says the best part about the World Series starting tonight, it's that much closer to being over. Oh, Trent.
Not a baseball fan, and that's fine. Don't watch it. Change the channel.
Yeah, Trent, there's like 700 kabillion channels out there.
You know what, Doug, in this baseball deal with the Red Sox, we haven't even said one word about it to this point, but these guys want to have a beer in the clubhouse when they're the starting pitchers. You ever had a two-martini lunch? That just happens sometimes. Is it that big of a deal?
Well, again, they need something to write about. They need something to talk about. They know that this issue will spark some controversy, so they're writing about it. I agree with you. Let's face it. Daddy, you and I will have a cold adult beverage from time to time. There are folks out there that do not want to have a cold adult beverage from time to time, and here is an issue that can be brought up on any talk show, whether it's sports, whether it's news, whether it's public radio, whether you're devout one way, devout, it doesn't matter how you live your life, this can always spark discussion, and that's why this is kind of a big deal.
No, they had such a great time when they won the World Series and talked about what a bunch of screwballs they were, running around the clubhouse naked and smacking people in the ass with towels and yucking it up and having a couple shots after the game, or you know, before they did the bullpen sessions on their day off, they do a shot of this or whatever. You know what, they did it when they were successful, so now since they played like crap down the stretch, let's target on that, and that's why they didn't play well.
Yeah, I'm sure they were playing drunk.
No, that never happened. It was guys that were doing this had no chance of going in the ball game. They said, you know what, we'd run back there and have a rally beer, try and get something started. Everybody's got their superstitions. That's just the way it is. They're grown men. Okay, they're probably not the maturest. They probably got a lot of money. They can do whatever they want to at times. They're just having some fun. Relax, people. And I mean, if you're going to just be an M about this for hours upon hours, I cannot believe it can take that many articles to be written about this before somebody just say, look, we got pro football going on, we got college football going on, and we're still worried about the Red Sox that have been out of contention for 3 weeks now.
Oh my gosh, there was a can of beer in that whole facility. Dear rest of the world, not the only professional place that this has happened at, okay?
Right.
Let's just get on with that. Hey, we are here at Cunningham's at the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. Hassle-free pricing on all of our vehicles on both lots at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. You come on the lot, they'll help you find the vehicle that meets your needs and your budget, and you know what the price is right from the get-go because it's right there on the window on every one of the vehicles on both of their lots. Hassle-free also means stress-free. No difficult negotiations. Just find the one you like and take it home. It's simple, folks. Hassle-free at the Midway Auto Group, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or always check them out online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report.
He's got game.
Well, I got some emails we want to get to here in a little bit as well, so stay with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. If you've got an email for the program or for our next guest, Bob Jensen, we'd love to hear from you. All you have to do is send it to us, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report joins us as we go into the final week of the regular season. Good morning, Robert. How are you today?
Good morning, boys. I'm very well. Hopefully you are the same.
Bob, last week, Doug and I, Elm Creek and Overton, a game we did, we talked about in the post game. Looks to me D1, C2 are just the kind of the wild card classes where several teams could be competitive all the way down to the semifinals and finals. The widest open classes to you are which ones?
Well, I think you're in the ballpark, actually, Tony. I mean, I've been saying all year that D1's a mess. There could be a lot of strange things that happen because there's not a single dominant team. There's a bunch of pretty good teams that could wind up, pulling a fast one in the playoffs. As far as C2 goes, it's kind of the other way around. There's so many good teams that, some strange things are going to happen simply because there are so many contenders. They're basically, in C2, they're all lined up behind St. Cecilia. But, that lead isn't anything like it was has been in some other years. So I'd agree with that. Those are two really wide-open classes. But I tell you what, in Class A, Omaha Burke, has been number one since the second week of the season. It's a program that kind of was making its money, scoring all kinds of points and giving up all kinds of points. But they kind of tightened up the defense the last couple of weeks against lesser opponents. But it did show that they could play a little defense. And I don't know if that means that they're even in Class A. But there's a lot of teams that are going to be in contention there as well.
Let's go to the Den Popper inbox here. This comes out of Lexington, Nebraska, and it says, Mr. Jensen, is Overton for real?
Well, yeah, sure they are. First of all, Lexington, the home of Steve Hampton, the pride of Lexington High School, which I don't know the people at Lex really wanted that out. I'm kind of sorry I said that now. But the thing is that Overton is real because it got its act together. Again, we've talked about Overton a couple times. They got beat by two good teams early in the season, trying to get a new program established, trying to really actually recover from some really substantial graduation losses. They beat two good teams back-to-back, Alma and Elm Creek. I think Overton's got a chance to, be right in the mix in D1. I don't know why you would say they wouldn't be.
Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Our Husker lunch at Cunningham's in Kearney comes down. Here's Sean Callahan at the top of the hour. Get here a little bit early, get your lunch ordered, and get a good seat as we get ready for Husker football talk again here today. Bob, before we move up to the 11-man, and I know Tony has some questions when we get to the 11-man because we've got a good one tomorrow with Kearney and Lincoln North Star that we're going to go see at Seacrest. But Howell's only winning 12-6, that so rarely happens against Humphrey St. Francis. You saw a lot of that ball game, said it was a physical ball game. Does that give a Giltner or a Sargent or some of these other D2 schools a thought that they have a chance, or is it just going to be those two are so good?
Well, I'm pretty sure that programs at that level think they had a chance anyway. But, Howells is a good football team. It's a really good football team. St. Francis is very athletic. And they've got as good a set of linebackers as there is in the state. And I realize that Drew Ott still plays for Giltner. But a couple kids by the name of Blake Krings and Jared Liefeld are just outstanding. They're 200-pound kids that sit right in the middle. They've got speed to go to the corner. They certainly are run stuffers. And they made Howells work for everything that they wanted or that they got. It does open the possibility, but I would be remiss if I did not mention that last year in the regular season, the only way that Howells beat St. Francis was on a breakaway run by Trent Musney. He went like 65 yards for a touchdown. That was a touchdown game also. The next time they played, Howells won by 35. So, we'll see what happens. I do know that that's a tremendous rivalry. There is a... there's a decent, well, I don't know if it's not a decent chance. There's an outside chance that's the last time those two teams will ever play. I'm almost positive that they're going to wind up facing each other again in the playoffs. But it was kind of a melancholy night. That is a program that has a lot of history behind it, a lot of great nights. It was a great win for Howells, and it was a very good performance by St. Francis.
I'm going to go to Class C1 and go to Ogallala and Minden, two teams from out west that are both undefeated. We haven't saw Minden since the first game of the year. Hadn't been tested a lot. Got a good test versus Milford and passed that test.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a big game. Actually, I traded emails with Coach Dunn this week and talked to Jared Spear, and they both said the same thing, that, you know, It was a test game. You know, that's a game last year that meant a lot. Minden found a way to win it. You just get the feeling that this is a different Minden team. And I know we've talked about them before, but you just get a feeling that, you know, they've got that confidence. They're playing with an assuredness that maybe Minden, you know, maybe Minden last year got to the point where they were kind of hoping things would work out. But they weren't certain. I really get the feeling, especially after talking to Jared, who's a delightful young man, that they believe it's going to happen. And, the way the bracket is probably going to set up, Pierce is probably going to go west, and they become the automatic favorite if that's the case. But Minden's good. And if, you know, Minden, and the thing that Minden has that every team wants to have is to have speed. You can't coach speed. Spear is a great example. He is a threat to go the distance every time he touches the ball. Minden, I said it earlier, and I'm going to stick by it. I think it's a team that, you know, got a real chance at making the quarterfinals in the playoffs.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. As I mentioned, Bob, we're going to be at Seacrest Field tomorrow to watch this great football player named Mike Minter, and not the one that played for the Huskers, his son. He had four touchdowns last week, albeit against an overmatched Fremont Ball Club, but two of them were pick sixes, two of them were on offense. North Star has to win this game get into the playoffs. Kearney does not. One of the many intriguing games across the state that will directly affect the playoffs. What are your thoughts on this, and have you had a chance to see Minter play?
No, I have not. There's a 50-50 chance I'm going to be at that ball game. We'll see how that works. But, you know, I can read. I did get my education at a real nice public school there in Arnold, and I can read. And I see where Minter's just tearing them apart. The one thing that North Star has not done is they have not necessarily played a tremendously difficult schedule. What they've done is they've really beaten up on the teams they should. And I think that's probably going to give Coach Kuhl a little bit of a little bit of ammo right there. I tell you what, I like Brandon Kuhl, and I like his staff. And when it comes to big games, you could do a whole lot worse than to have them coach. And I think I don't want to make it all about the coaches, but I think in a game that could be fairly even, I think that that's where Kearney maybe comes out on top just a little bit, and maybe that's how they win the ball game. I can't imagine that Minter's not going to make some spectacular plays, but I don't know if he'll make enough to beat Kearney.
Bob, I want to know one thing about McCook. Are you surprised Coach Gross has not had a heart attack this year?
I'm always surprised when Coach Gross doesn't have a heart attack. Guy is he's an intense competitor, and I know that they've been good this year. They've made their own luck in a couple spots. There's no way you win double overtime twice and not, you know, create some good things for yourself. I just don't know that McCook is quite there with those big three teams from the East. And they're going to get first or second seed. And with that, I'm telling you, I love the idea of Class B being 1 through 16 seeding. That is going to create some unusual matchups. And I don't know. I think it probably opens the door for something weird to happen once we get playing.
Bob, can Hastings or Northwest make the playoffs with a win?
Well, that I don't know for positive, to be honest. I do know that Hastings is had a chance to make something happen when it played Aurora. I know that just talking with some media friends, you know, that kind of looked like maybe Hastings had a chance to make something happen. It did. It just wasn't real good what happened. And as far as Northwest goes, you know, that's a team I kind of expected a little bit more out of. I realize that they've played a difficult schedule as well. I thought maybe the program was ready to make a little bit of a jump. It's been a little bit of an uneven road for Northwest, but we'll see. I don't know the answer to that question, to be honest.
Bob Jensen with us for just another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show, live from Cunningham's Journal of the Loft. Come on down for our Husker lunch every Wednesday. Stop by, talk some Husker football, swing in early, get your lunch orders, and Sean Callahan from Husker Online on hand, and he'll be answering all your questions. So stop by for our Husker lunch today. A couple other games in the area. We talked Hastings High. St. Cecilia plays Sutton. That's one of our radio games. I know one that you're interested in is the Bertrand SEM game on a local level as well.
Yeah, well, taking them in order, St. Cecilia Sutton, I mean, that's a game St. Cecilia should win. But there is no denying that in the last 3-4 weeks, Sutton's become a completely different football team. They went to, and another kid that I interviewed this week, Reed Wiebe, the guy that I once signed up, Doug, when we put our four-man scramble together, we need Wiebe in there, just note to you. Thing is that they moved into running back. It's been 200 yards a week. And not only has he gained 200 yards a week, but that defense has really locked people up the last 3-4 games. They're not going to be able to do that to St. Cecilia, but I think that's going to be a real competitive football game. And as far as Bertrand and Sumner goes, you know, these guys go back to last year. You know, we had a little something going on there, Tony. You know, it's one of those deals where Sumner kind of snuck up and got Bertrand. Well, there's no sneaking this year. Coach Langan, I know you're listening. That's a nice little ball team, an explosive team, a team that can score from anywhere on any play. And I think they're going to find a way to beat Bertrand, and then hopefully both of them be able to, you know, advance in the playoffs.
You know, I think, Bob, those are two great athletes that Sumner has, and they're very tough to contain, make no bones about it. Pleasanton had a hard time. Bertrand's going to have a very difficult time as well.
Well, the thing is, Tony, too, we talk about offense a lot. We talk about defense. We seldom talk about special teams. But honestly, is there a better kick returner than English? I mean, it seems like every week he returns. If he doesn't break one all the way, he's given Sumner a tremendous field position. And, of course, on that little tiny field, it doesn't take much. You know, an 8-yard gain will give you great field position. But, you know, he is definitely a difference maker. Line is a difference maker. Bertrand's got a nice team. We had a chance to interview a younger earlier this year. He's a good kid. He's a tough kid. And, you know, Coach Streeter will have him ready to go. But I just think that Sumner wins, and I don't know. You know, Sumner's got, you know, that west half of D2 is going to be really interesting. You know, everybody's in love with Sargent, and they should be. But there's going to be a couple other teams that make a run at things. If Sumner gets in the right place in that bracket, there's another quarterfinal team, I think, before it's all over.
And finally, Bob, last question. We'll let you go. We've talked about all the games in this area. Statewide, is there another big game that's going to have impacts on playoffs?
Well, okay, speaking directly of the playoffs, not really, but a game that I am fascinated by, and again, it's in D2, is Sacred Heart and Pawnee City. That's a long ways from here. I know that's true. It's 200 miles from where I'm sitting. But Pawnee has got this kid, this Garrett Borcher, who is just a lights-out quarterback. Sacred Heart's a small little team. But this isn't like the 1990s Sacred Heart where every kid weighed 210, 215 and could run. But they are very fast. And, you know, that's a game that Pawnee should win. But it'll be interesting to see in what fashion they win it because, again, D2 is awfully crowded at the top. Pawnee wants to believe that it's a player, that it's you know, going to be in the mix. And in order to do that, it probably needs to do a number on Sacred Heart. I guess we'll find out if they can.
Well, it's a fun time of the year, and folks, you can check out Bob's top 10 rankings for all the classes. The projected playoff pairings in Class C have just been posted this morning, the projected field. It's always a fun time because then on Saturday, weather permitting, and it looks like we'll be okay there, we can get online and look at who's going where and playing where as it gets underway next Thursday for C and D, and then next Friday for A and B. And Bob, we'll talk to you again next week. Safe travels, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely, boys. Have a good week, and it will be. Next week will be even better. We'll be in the playoffs.
Talk to you later, bud. Bob Jensen. Check him out online. It's at Huskerland Preps. bet.rivals.com for the very latest.
McCook team, Doug, I'm telling you, they're winning double overtime. They're winning 24-21 every week. It's just a nail-biter down there. And, you know, I don't think they probably belong on the big three anyway. But you know what? To get to that point, if they find themselves in the right spot, they're in the semifinals if they can play the type of football that McCook's become accustomed to, and they're used to winning.
One other little note, Tony, because this was put in my ear. It's National FFA Convention Week. Some of the rural schools are losing a lot of their football players to this convention that goes on in Nashville every year. Remember a couple of years ago, Houston-Farnham, that happened too. It's happening to Amherst this week. I'm sure there's many more out there. So just when you think everything might be under control and maybe you need a team to win to help you get, this is where you're rooting for a team that's 2-5 to get to the next level or a 500 to get to the next level so that your playoff points get bumped up and help you get into the playoffs. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show live from Cunningham's, our Husker Lunch. Sean Callahan's going to join us here in just a few minutes on the air, and then we'll turn it over to him here at Cunningham's. I know it's not a big game with Minnesota, but there's a lot to learn about Minnesota. He'll also talk about Michigan State, Ohio State. We haven't recapped that yet on the Husker Lunch, and there's a lot of injury news. There's a lot of new faces moving around. Stan Johnley Baptiste moves into a new spot and had a big play against Ohio State. Who's going to take over for Crick? Answering all your questions. Plus, hey, you got to have lunch. Why not have it here and enjoy the full menu? Maybe a little steak tips again today, Daddy. That's what I'm looking forward to, bro.
I'm looking at that little Philly cheesesteak wrap.
So much good food, including the pizzas right here. And a couple of weeks ago, I had the bacon-wrapped salmon. So good. It's outstanding. Come down, see the gang here. Have a great lunch. Talk some Husker football at Cunningham's. And we'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at ibm.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
The Home Depot has a new idea for easier installation of insulation. New Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation at a new lower price of only $9.97 a roll. It's easier to handle, and at this new lower price, it's a lot easier on your wallet. So make it easy on yourself with Owens Corning EcoTouch insulation, just $9.97 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer's so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for three touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some sunshine develop across the area today with a high around 50 with a north wind increasing to 10 to 20. For tonight, with clear skies and light winds, we'll head back to 23 for a low, followed by a high of 54 on Thursday. I'm Paul Frombly. Right now, 45.
Is you with me?
I got your back, boy.
But let's get it.
I can
win this all. I can win this all.
But I promise I will never let you go.
What you call me?
And at ESPNSuperstation.com, where you can vote on the ATS poll question for today, and that is, who do you think is going to win the World Series, Texas or St. Louis? Texas is a slight favorite in the ball game tonight, and a slight favorite, the other way around. St. Louis is a slight favorite tonight, but Texas is a slight favorite in the World Series overall. So that's what's going on tonight. I said I was going to make my prediction earlier in the week. I already said I was going to take Texas because of all the St. Louis Rangers fans. And I will make my prediction right now and say that St. Louis wants to win it at home, so St. Louis in six. So St. Louis will win it in six.
Well, you know, I got to wonder, when Texas is favored to win the thing and St. Louis is favored in game one at St. Louis.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Texas will win it in six. Five. How's that working? Texas in five.
Okay.
Just shocked the world there. I just had to make sure that Card Fan got up off the deck. Texas in five.
You know what? I'm gonna take St. Louis just because, simple fact, they're on a roll right now. You know what? The Milwaukee Brewer manager said it best. Did they do anything wrong in the entire series? Name one thing that you could have questioned. They played pitcher after pitcher. They changed pitchers 28 times or something in that series and found a way. Everything they did was right. I think they're going to continue to do it right. Amazing story. And I think the Cardinals find a way to get it done somehow in front of their home fans.
As Romy would say, this comes from the 402. Hey, do you guys think that Atlanta was drinking beer in the clubhouse? They, too, had an epic collapse.
They were doing more than beer. That was interesting. But
we had our Loper Link earlier in the show today, and Doug from Kearney says, hey, guys, great show, but do not know the situation at Shadron State. But I do disagree with you guys. He goes, I will never cheer for Shadron State in any sport. I've seen firsthand how the Loper teams are treated at Shadron. At the Division II level, you would expect more of a class act than what Shadron has to offer. The best thing about Shadron is looking in the rearview mirror as you leave that town. Personally, I hope there is never another Loper team that has to play Shadron in any sport. With the move into the MIAA, which in my opinion is the best Division II conference sports-wise in the nation, we're entering a new and great era. We will see not only outstanding athletic teams in all sports, but class programs that will treat the visiting team with respect, unlike what Shadron State has shown over the years. Thank you, Doug, with a strongly worded opinion on Shadron State.
Okay.
He has a vacation up around there, apparently.
Well, apparently not a big fan of the area. You know what? If I've been to one basketball game at Shadron, one or two basketball games at Shadron, that's my only experience with Shadron. Wow, that's a different opinion than I would have, but I respect that opinion, Doug, and I think you're right. But before we anoint the greatest fans in Division II, this new conference, let's go in and see, because we were hearing how great the fans were in the Big Ten, and Wisconsin ruined that off the bat.
There's also many other great email or great articles going up today on ESPN.com. Dwight Gooden missed the Mets 86 parade doing drugs. Beck is going to start for the Washington Redskins, and Carson Palmer is expected to start for the Raiders. Huh? He better be ready to go.
Apparently Kyle Buller really sucks.
And Kansas City Chiefs must love this, don't they? That's the opponent of the Raiders.
Well, yeah, you'd have to think they're licking their chops defensively. You got to think that Rex Ryan and Rob Ryan wish they were there coaching again. So they'd be dialing up all sorts of stuff, and they let him put him on his back.
So there you go. I take Texas in five. You take St. Louis in six. And those are our predictions for the World Series. You can voice your opinion on our ATS poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. And don't forget, folks, right now the Harvest Special is winding down, where you can invest in the best at TNL Irrigation. Go to TLIRR.com. When you invest in the best, like a quarter-mile TNL pivot irrigation system, you can save upwards of $6,500. Call TNL Irrigation or any of their great dealers. Homegrown, home-based business out of Hastings, Nebraska, now serving the entire United States and 60 countries worldwide since the 50s. Will you ever make more money on your farm? Well, this is one way to do it with the Harvest Special. TNL Irrigation, check out the many ways that they can help you. TLIRR.com or chat with one of your local representatives. We'll be back with more, including Sean Callahan of Husker Online, right after this. It is our Husker Lunch live from Cunningham. Swing on down. We're talking Husker football for the next hour, answering all your questions, looking back at Ohio State, previewing the next few games with Sean Callahan. So come on down, enjoy a great lunch, and we'll be back with more after this.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for three touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
Farmers, investing in irrigation could be the best decision you'll ever make for your farm's future success. So why not invest in the best? Buy a quarter-mile T&L pivot irrigation system and save $6,500 during T&L's Invest in the Best Harvest Special. It's going on now. Call T&L Irrigation or your T&L dealer today to learn more. T&L, proven technology that works.
When you want an easier way to deal with the hassles of fraud this season, we're with you. With a debit card or credit card from Wells Fargo, you're covered with zero liability protection, which means you won't be held responsible for any unauthorized purchases or ATM transactions if promptly reported. We'll also protect your money by monitoring your account for unusual activity. And you'll be happy to know this built-in protection won't cost you a thing. Call, click, or stop by today to learn more about our zero liability protection. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
I am the new way to work, and I am not alone. More companies, from the startups to the large multi-location companies, are realizing that office solutions from Regis are tailor-made for their needs, whatever those needs may be. With Regis, they get to invest in their business instead of lobby art and phone systems. They get the local presence they need without the long-term lease. I am the new way to work, and I'd like you to join me. Start now and get 2 months free at Regis.com/radio or call 1-800-OFFICES. That's 1-800-OFFICES.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Whether you need to pick off a prairie dog or call in a turkey, the Boathouse in Grindallen has a variety of ammunition and hunting accessories that true outdoorsmen like yourself want. The Boathouse is more than just boats. It's ammo, live bait, and it's the right stuff, all in one place, so you can have more time in the fields or the lake, doing what you like to do best. The Boathouse. Boats, hunting, accessories, ammo, and live bait. North Highway 281 in Grindallen.
The Duck and Daddy Show rolls on. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live from Cunningham's Journal, as the crowd continues to filter in for our weekly Husker Lunch. Sean Callahan from Husker Online will be answering your questions and giving a recap of the Ohio State game, which, Daddy, seems so long ago.
Yeah, it really does. Sean, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm doing good, yeah. It feels like it's been like an entire off season over this bye week. It's been a long 2 weeks, I guess it will be, when Nebraska takes the field in Minneapolis. And, it's just a good thing they won that game against Ohio State, because if they would have lost in the fashion that in the third quarter we thought they were going to lose that game, it would have been a long 2 weeks in the state.
Especially since this is considered a scrimmage on Saturday.
and I was talking to a Minnesota writer last night, and I still think Marquise Gray, though, could pose some problems for the defense for Nebraska. The quarterback for Minnesota, he's 6'4", 230, and he runs a 4'5", 40. He's their leading rusher and their leading passer. And before he got hurt, it was Denard Robinson, Taylor Martinez, and Marquise Gray were the three leading rushers in the Big Ten. So I think Nebraska is going to win this game easily, but I do think they're going to get tested with the mobility as a defense, because that's hurt them all year.
Obviously, there's a good feeling, like you mentioned, with Nebraska's biggest comeback in school history, winning that Ohio State game. But how much worry is there from the coaching staff
And then for the players going, boy, in the middle of the third quarter, like you said, a lot of head scratches, especially on the defensive side of things.
Yeah, I think the offense is fine. Really, for the offense, they just need to start faster. They need to get off to a better start early on in the game. But defensively, they just got to stop people. They haven't been able to consistently make plays on third down. And mobile quarterbacks have really hurt them, you know, when it's third and seven, third and eight, and they drop everybody back and they don't blitz. They're having a hard time, you know, stopping the quarterback. You saw Braxton Miller rush for some long third down runs, and that's been the Achilles heel. They need to figure out ways to get offenses off the field faster, because they're just killing themselves by allowing those big plays on third down.
Well, the fans want to be coaches again, so when Jared Crick goes down, there's been a lot of questions on this show, a lot of questions from the media, if that will change the approach that Carl Pelini and his defensive coaches have about what they do with their linebackers, if they try to rush more. What are you seeing, what are you hearing about with Crick out, how that might change their scheme?
Well, Cam Meredith told me yesterday that they're going to rotate almost every – they're going to rotate four guys at D-tackle and probably four guys at D-end this week. So they're going to rotate almost every series, every other series, where you're going to see a consistent eight, maybe even nine guys play on the front four. And they plan on doing that down the stretch here. Because honestly, without Crick – and even with the play of the defensive ends, I don't think there's much separation between the eight or nine top guys. I mean, I think they're all pretty equal. I don't think you could say Baker Steinkuhler is head and shoulders better than Terrence Moore, Thad Randall, or Chase Rome. I think you want to get all four of those guys on the field and let somebody emerge. And at defensive end, the same way. Josh Williams, I think Cameron Meredith has been quiet after the opening game. He hasn't had a great year, so I think you want to try to rotate in as many bodies as possible to try to let that front four really establish better and kind of figure out who really are your playmakers are here down the stretch.
Has Baker Steinkuhler been a disappointment?
I don't know if you could say that, because they don't ask their defensive tackles to make – I mean, the job of the two-gap scheme, they're not really asking those guys to have 100 tackles a year. I mean, we're just so used to Sue, what he could do, that I think it's unrealistic to ask a guy like Baker to put up those kind of numbers. But – you know, yeah, I don't think he's had a great year, but I don't think you could say he's had a terrible year by any means. He's a talented player, and it's just hard to really ask a guy to come up with a lot of plays because they ask those guys to do so much up front.
John Callahan of Husker Online is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, live from Cunningham's, our weekly Husker lunch. Still time. We're here till 1 o'clock, so slide on in, even if it's for a late lunch. Get some great food here at Cunningham's and talk a little Husker football basically all last week. It makes it somewhat tougher. The guys that try to cover have to cover the Huskers every day. Bo wasn't available even with practices, although he had his weekly radio show. He was on the road recruiting a little bit. A lot of recruiting stories up on the website this last week.
Yeah, you know, really, I think the story for recruiting for Nebraska over the bye week was junior college recruiting, and I think it allowed them to do kind of a self-scout to say, where are we at? And they, obviously, there's a bunch of questions on the defense. Well, there's a junior college corner in Eastern Arizona named Mohamed Cisse, way out outside Phoenix, 3 hours outside Phoenix. Bo Pelini actually flew out there and visited him in person over the bye week. A huge need, probably a four-star D-back. Then Zaire Anderson, Carl Pelini loves this guy. He's all over him. He's probably one of the top JUCO linebackers in the country. They need linebackers, plain and simple. I mean, we've seen it. Sean Fisher struggled this year. They don't have anybody better that'll put on the field. They need to create some depth competition. What it's looking like now is they're going to take three high school linebackers and a fourth guy at JUCO, and they're just going to totally restock the shelf with talent, athletic ability at the linebacker position. Zaire Anderson, I expect to be a Nebraska commit maybe by week's end or early next week.
Okay, obviously the number deal, people leave, people come and go. What's the number team in Nebraska for recruiting purposes is now? Is there a 17?
I'd say 16 to 18 is the number right now that they're going to take. They have seven commits. They have nine spots left open. You know, it really fluctuates, but they would like to probably take 17, 18 if they can pull it off, and, you know, probably two to three JUCOs in a mix.
That's all. They just want two or three JUCOs for their main needs, huh?
You don't want to overdo it. They don't need any offensive JUCOs. Guys, they're fine in the offensive side of the ball. I think it's defensively. You know, they're going to take a linebacker this year. They're going to take probably a defensive back, and maybe if a second defensive back appears, JUCO wise, they could take. They'll take him. But I don't think any more. Then the following year, though, they'll probably take at least another Chico linebacker again, because you lose Fisher and you lose Compton and you lose a lot of leadership after next year.
Okay, Zaire Anderson, for fans out there, will have 3 years to play
two, and he graduates January 31st. So what I think Nebraska's trying to do, number one, is A, make sure he's academically ready to get into Nebraska in January. And if he is, can they get him graduated 2 weeks early to get to Lincoln for the semester so he could be a part of spring ball? Because we all know if you're here for spring ball, big difference. So there's a lot. The reason he's not committed basically is academic checks. They want to make sure that he can, number one, graduate in January. Number two, if he does graduate in January, they can get him up here early to be here in the spring.
All the behind-the-scenes stuff that continues to go on. Sean, I'll let you out of here with this one. We're at the midway point. Nebraska went 1-1 against Wisconsin and Ohio State. You said that would be good. Where is this football team for the second half? Because as a lot of folks have been talking, after Minnesota, I say every week you cannot say that Nebraska is going to win or going to lose. Every game from there on out has a chance to be competitive.
Yeah, I look at the schedule now, guys, and I think 9-3 the realistic finish, because there's going to be some tough teams. There's going to be some adversity. If they can go 9-3, even if they don't make it to Indianapolis, I think that's still going to be a good season for everything that, they'd probably play in the Capital One Bowl, somewhere pretty attractive. I think 10-2 is probably the best case finish. 8-4, to me, is maybe the worst case finish. 8-4 would be a win over Northwestern, a win over Iowa, but then losses like Michigan State, Michigan, and Penn State. To me, that would be probably your worst-case scenario.
Best team right now in the Big Ten besides Wisconsin is?
You got to go Michigan State. I mean, they look hot, man. I mean, but what, that Ohio State win, I think every week that's going to look a little better for Nebraska, because they went down to Champaign and just punched Illinois in the mouth, man. They threw four times that game, and that offensive line for Ohio State, it didn't get a lot of talk from us up here, but if you watch the tape and watch them last week, that offensive line was the best line Nebraska's, maybe even better than Wisconsin's line. Ohio State's line with Mike Adams back, they can move the ball on anybody running the football, and they showed that running it on Illinois when they knew every single play was going to be a run play.
Well, let's turn it over to the folks here at Cunningham's and talk some more football. Sean, always great to see you, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks back here and in Lincoln.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Sean Callahan, you can check him out online, huskeronline.com, for all the latest news, not only on recruits, but daily practice reports, video, and a whole lot more. Check it out at huskeronline.com. And, Daddy, one more thing that we didn't mention. It ended last night, the 39-game winning streak of the Hastings College soccer team. Fifth-ranked Baker University of Kansas came in scoreless, went to overtime. Baker wins it 1-0 in overtime, snapping the NAIA record winning streak of 39 games. The women won. They've won 11 in a row.
Well, you know what? If you're going to lose one, now's the time to do it. That's what I got to say about that.
Well, again, when we come to talk about the lesser sport, the non-football, the non-basketball, the non-volleyball, baseball, wrestling, anything else, well, you've got to do something like that to make people pay attention. And, boy, congratulations, Hastings. And now hopefully they can start another long, long streak. I guess it's time to get out of here, Merritt. We appreciate everybody for firing in their emails on the program today. Tomorrow, Phil Miller of the Minneapolis Star Tribune is going to join us on the show. Jeff Erickson of RotoWire to answer all of your fantasy football questions. So, I looked at our transaction wires. I've never seen so many drops and ads in 1 week that popped up this morning. So if you've got questions, email the program. And tomorrow, folks, Jim Craig joins us on the show. The 1980 Olympic goalie is going to be in Kearney on Friday at the Tri-City Storm game. We'll talk to Jim Craig tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks to Sean Callahan, Amy Gillespie, Bob Jensen for all joining us today here at Cunningham.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.